Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Praise God, praise God. My goodness, I'm excited about what the Lord is doing on the line already. Woo. Glory of God, I feel the shaking of a new season for someone on the line to feel.
Hallelujah.
Woo, I'm still pumped up from when we were here on the line for our conference, our wonderful conference that we had, Make Your Enemy Your Footstool, telecom. God showed up. He showed out. I'm telling you, so many people, even on the line, I even heard while the word was going forth, someone break down in tears. If you on the line, you probably heard it too. Someone started crying and giving God the praise because you don't understand. When you've been terrorized, when you have been made subdued because the enemies have formed themselves as a barrier around you and you felt like there was no way out. You felt like that they were actually a barricade, that they were the wall. But we learned that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We learned that the enemy is not a wall, but it's actually a door. We learned that the enemy is not a barricade, but actually a bridge. We learned that the enemy comes to announce your new season. We learned that the enemy comes along to conclude your current season. This is how God uses your enemy. So fret not, people of God. Hallelujah. When enemies set themselves around you, because God is fighting for you. He's setting you up for something supernatural. I am excited, praise God, to everyone under the sound of my voice. I am Apostle April of Kingdom Centers International. And I'm happy to be the pastor. I'm happy to be the lead pastor. I'm happy to be the founder. I'm happy to be a part of this kingdom movement alongside of my husband, Apostle Andrew Mitchell Smith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Man of God. Hallelujah. A seer. Hallelujah. A prophet. Hallelujah. A man of God. A man of God who's after God's own heart. Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be his wife, his helpmate on this path, on this journey as we go forward and move things in the kingdom of God. To everyone on the line, God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Even as
hallelujah.
You all are still coming forward. Hallelujah. And logging on, God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and opportunity to be able to teach your people, empower your people, to be able to uplift your people, to challenge their thinking, to stretch them outside of their comfort zone. God, I thank you, and I ask that you would anoint my mouth. Lord, open up their hearts that they may be receivers of the word, that they may be hearers of the word. But just like it says in James 1, 22, 23, 24, 25, where it talks about hearers, but be doers of the word of God as well. In Jesus' mighty name, let all God's people say amen.
Amen. Amen.
God. Now, I've been giving you time to get your pen, your notebooks, your pads, your pencils, your erasers, because I'm going to go fast. I make sure that I shoot it out just like a gun. Pew, pew, pew. Just giving you a whole bunch of bullet points, a whole bunch of nuggets, a whole bunch of things, concepts, wisdom, and then you write it down and meditate.
Amen.
Meditate on it, even tonight and going forward. Today I want to talk to you about your ideas. We want to talk to you about God-inspired ideas. So many people, if I took a toll on most of the people that I speak to and I asked them, which one would you rather have right now? Would you rather have money or would you love to have an idea? I guarantee most people would say, give me that money. But actually, we need to learn how to place value more on ideas. Better yet, place value on God-inspired ideas. Did you not know?
All right, come on.
Ideas, talking about the I-D-E-A-S, ideas. I-D-E-A-S, so you know what I'm saying. Ideas are golden gates to immediate change. That's heavy right there. I hope my note takers are taking notes. Ideas are golden gates to immediate change. That's powerful. I could preach on that already. But I got to move forward. I got a lot to cover in a short amount of time.
An idea
is a thought. Divinely, we're talking about God-inspired ideas. Emphasis on God. Because there's plenty of ideas out there, but we want to focus on God, God-inspired ideas. So an idea is a thought. It's divinely planted by God that could solve a problem for someone. I was doing prophetic coaching calls, and she said, I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I know I want to help. I know I want to empower, and I know I want to employ. So then I started helping her clarify the God idea that was being birthed out inside of her. See, that's what a midwife is for. That's what prophetic coaching is for. That's what apostleship is for. We help you give birth to your ministry, to your God idea.
That's right.
How many people do we hear, oh, I feel like I'm called to do more. I just know God wants to use me. I feel like there's something inside of me, but you can't pinpoint it. You can't narrow it down. That's what we're here for, to express, to expose your God-given purpose, to help you birth out God-given ideas, to help bring clarity. So you're not just walking around saying, I'm meant to do more. Now you can put a stamp on it and say, I'm meant to do more by being an administrator, by being a prophetess, by opening up a shelter, by opening up a nonprofit, by helping specifically. We help you find your niche, your distinct difference. So let me help you on that road by talking about God-given ideas. They help you solve problems, not your problem. That's selfish. You're not put on here to be selfish. You're not put on this earth to be selfish. I'm put on this earth to solve my problem. Wrong attitude. You're put on this earth so that you can solve other people's problems. There's something in you that can solve someone else's problem.
Amen. Ooh. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can I say that one more time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get so excited about wisdom. There's something in you that can solve someone else's problem. The scriptures excite us with the promise of witty invention.
My God.
See, a lot of us, we want the quick money. But let me just be honest. If I gave you $1 million, even right now, you'll be broke probably in 3 to 6 to 12 months. Why? Because you don't even have a God-given idea. You're just going to splurge on the money. But only money is placed in the hands of those that have God-given ideas, because then you'll be able to build up the platform of the amount that God gave you.
That's right. That's right.
A man without an idea, a man, and I'm speaking about human mankind, not just men, male and female, a man without a God-given idea, a man without any plan or vision is a lost man, a dangerous man.
Jesus.
There's plenty of wealthy people who are loose cannons. Why? Because they are lacking in God-given ideas. You. What does the Bible promise you? The Bible promises you in Proverbs 8 and 12, note takers. Proverbs 8 and 12, it talks about witty invention. I don't know why Christians, some of them, not all, because some people aren't tapped into this revelation and took off. But some of the most hard-believing, knee-bleeding, because you stay on your knees all day long some of the poorest people on this earth when God has promised us to give us witty inventions. God has promised us that we shall be problem solvers on this earth. Let me tell you something. Money is an evil. The love of money is. I'm not in love with money. I'm not in love with money. But I will tell you, I know the value of money. And I know what money can do. Money can send my children to college and provide an education. Money can take me up out of the hood and place me in a suburb with a lower crime rate. Money can allow me to go out there and feed other families. Money can allow me to go out there and bless people with cars so that they can go to a better, have access to a better career that is a little bit outside of the perimeter of public transportation.
Ooh-wee, come on.
So the people that talk about it, it's all about money. Ugh, money, money, money. Well, why don't you take you and your broke self, go and sit in the corner, and then wait on somebody to walk past you and give you some breadcrumbs. I don't know about you, but I want to buy the home. So wait, I don't want to wait on someone to give me breadcrumbs when I could buy the loaf.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
Tonight,
apostle.
I will. I'm going to preach you, apostle. Yes, Proverbs 8 and 12, it says, I, wisdom, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty invention. Some of you all need to study that scripture alone, but I got to move forward. I can preach just off that scripture, but I got to move forward. Methods for creating wealth are guaranteed to the obedient. That went over someone's health. That went over someone's head. So let me repeat that. Methods for creating wealth are guaranteed to the obedient. There's a saying, blessing is in the obedience. Somebody repeat after me. The blessing is in the obedience.
The blessing is in the
obedience.
Demonstrated. You just demonstrated that. Thank you for your obedience. I declare blessing over your life for being obedient. Just by repeating what the prophet said, repeat. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Deuteronomy 8 and 18, it talks about, it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God has given you the power to obtain wealth. This is why we tell you, you should always have something. You should have something always in your pocket. Why? Because I say it's something inside of you that can help solve someone else's problem. Money isn't a mystery. We treat money when it comes down to the Christian sector. Ooh, don't you say that M word. How dare you? We don't say the M word in this church. We don't say money. No. We treat it like it's a spook word. I love talking about finances. I'm not afraid to tackle that subject. Why? Because I love the evangelist that I heard this from. He said, there's no mystery about money. There's no mystery about receiving any type of finances. Money is a reward for solving someone else's problem. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes to you with a messed up head, you perm that hair, curl that hair, braid that hair, guess what? You solved their problem. Here's $80. Here's $40. Mm-hmm. Bam. There you go.
Right.
You need a job. You need employment. You go and fill out for that job application. You interview for that job. That job is saying basically you're going to be an administrator. Here's what you do. We'll give you a log of files, type it in, and put it into the system. You're solving our problem. Bam. You'll make $9 an hour, $15 an hour. $20 an hour, problem solved. Why is it so hard to compensate? Why is that so hard to comprehend that you can do the same? Somebody wants to go out or needs to go out, needs to go on a job interview or on a date. You say, let me babysit that baby. You're a babysitter. You watch over that child for a set amount of hours. You feed the baby, change the baby, put the baby to bed while this person is gone. When they come back, they say, thank you for solving my problem. Bam, here's your reward. Here's the money. That's how it works. So you have the power. Did you have to pray and fast about that? Did you have to hit that? Did you have to speak in tongues to get that? No. All you had to do was use the power that God has already given you to obtain your wealth. Say,
come on, you teaching.
Man.
He's witty. Same with these witty inventions. God wants to talk to you about his God-given inventions. God, you good ideas are interesting, but they're not commands. There are many people who sit around and have ideas, but what happens is they don't act on them. They become lost. Just a little nudge. Something that you do around the house and you say, man, I wish they had a product that would help me do this. Or I wish they had an instrument that did this. Do you not know that could have been the birthing of your witty invention? Just like you needed that substance or that product or that service or that instrument, many households probably do too. And that could have been the invitation to go out there and research and get a patent. Or start sketching it out, seeking it out. The one thing about good ideas, see, a lot of people, when they realize how much work goes into carrying out a God idea, they get discouraged. But I'm here to tell you, nothing in this life is free. I'm here to remind you, this world does not owe you anything. I'm here to tell you and remind you that nothing that you really would reward yourself with that has value will not just be dropped in your lap. You're going to have to work for it. You want your degree. If you want to get higher education, it's going to take you burning the midnight oil, studying, putting together your paper, taking the exam. So when you get that piece of paper after so many months or years, you stand up there with a sense of accomplishment. Why? Because it was your elbow grease. Nobody else was there helping you pass that test. You did it. I don't understand why people want money to just fall into their lap, but they have no vision to carry out the finances with. People want a hand out, people want a hand up, but don't no one wants to work. It's going to take you to bend over backwards. I don't know why we are so lazy as a people, and I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about everybody. Mm-hmm. You want a hand up, you want a hand out. I don't understand people. You contact us 2 days before your rent is due, and you act like it's a surprise. Apostle, I don't have any money for this next month. And I'm looking at Apostle, I said, you should have known you didn't have any money for the next month by the second day of the month that you're currently in. You knew you wouldn't have any money. I don't know why we act so shocked when we don't have the money that we need. And then what happens is because of your laziness and you think somebody's going to be there to bail you out, you then become even more lazier because you just want to now put only effort in begging or indirect asking.
My God.
I don't know how many people get coming to us and they indirectly ask, Apostle, can you quote-unquote pray for me? Yes, sure. What do you need prayer for? Well, I just need only $33.68 to pay this bill because if I don't get this bill paid by tomorrow, you know, I won't have this and that. So can you just pray that a miracle happen? I just wish that somebody would just help me, but pray that somebody, God would send somebody to help me get this money. And we just look at one another. We say, are you indirectly asking? You just expect them on anything anything you need to just come and drop in your lap. So when I ask the person, what are you doing besides begging to help you get $33.68? Whose hair have you volunteered to braid? Whose baby have you volunteered to babysit? Whose car have you volunteered to wash? Whose child have you volunteered to tutor? You don't understand. If you would have took up three kids in the neighborhood, let me help them solve 2 + 2, 4 × 4, 100 × 1, you would have had the money.
Come on, T. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Simplifying it. Simplifying this for you. Am I simplifying this for you? And let me go for it. I gotta get you all out of here. We gotta end this call soon. God ideas are actually God commands.
Amen.
See, good ideas, G-O-O-D, good ideas are interesting but are not commands. But I'm talking about God ideas. God ideas are actually God commands. And we got to know that. They awaken you in the middle of the night. They become your obsession. Some of you all on the line, you've been woken up in the middle of the night. And then place an idea. Idea has been placed on your heart. That's a clear indication that that's a God command. God is stirring up something in you. Don't roll over and say, oh, I don't know what that was. I had a burrito last night. Maybe that's it. I got gas. No, pay attention. Be awoke in this hour. Be awoke or be awakened in this season. Know what's happening. There are new seasonings that are birthing out in this earth. But you got to be aware and you got to be in alignment because you can't blame no one else when people are succeeding in the name of Jesus and you still begging. When you still begging on Facebook, trying to say, pray for me. I need some money. Pray for me. I need to pay my bills. That's nothing but 21st century begging. You may not be on the street corner walking up and down on the streets doing a red light like those people holding a sign, but you just as guilty on social media performing guilt trips. Let me tell you something. I'll never do that on my social media. I'll never do that. I'll decree and declare power and wealth in my own life before I put my hand out and ask people to give me some money. Why? I'm in disobedience of the word of God when he's given me the power to obtain wealth. And I sure wouldn't ask my bishop. I sure wouldn't ask my apostle. I give to them. I never take from them. I give to them, and I'll never take from them. Let me tell you something. My mentors are millionaires. They got gold bars sitting in a safe in Zurich, in another country.
Come on.
And if I ask, they probably would give it. But that's not how this thing is designed. I'm meant to lay gifts at his feet, her feet, never to take. Why? Because God has given me power to obtain wealth. Why in the world would I be a part of a covenant and I'm ripping and I'm taking from the covenant what God has blessed him with? Because he put in or she put in their work, their sacrifice, their fasting, their praying, they are imparting into me. It's meant for me to pour into them. That's why you... in your own wealth so that you can be a help to the body of Christ, so that you can actually pour into your leaders, pour into the storage room, pour into your ministry, not to take. It amazes me. That's why the ministry can't get off the ground, because instead of people getting a job and having the power to obtain their own wealth, they come into the source and they pull it from the savings.
snare up at the
ministry and say, what they doing with the money? Paying your bills. Then if we say no, then they so stingy. They all about money. Can't win for losing. That's why we preach education. Newsflash, take a note.
This is why we preach so hard about getting the education. This is why we preach so hard about becoming informed. This is why we preach against the nigger mentality. This is why we preach against staying ignorant. This is why we preach against stupidity, because it keeps you in bondage and in poverty. And when you're impoverished, you are no help. You are not effective to anybody, not yourself, not your family, not your kids, not your ministry, not your church. You become a dependent. You become someone that's just laying on my tail, dragging around.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.